One of the common questions we get when we talk about financial things and is from listeners is, how do I find a good financial planner? That's some part of what we're going to be talking about today, finding a financial advisor with our next guest. Frank Armstrong has been with us many times. He is a certified financial planner, founder and president of Investor Solutions, Inc., and he's also the author of The Informed Investor and co-author of Save Your Retirement. Maybe you've worked with a financial advisor. What was your experience like? What questions do you have about investing? We can talk about that certainly as well. Love to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page. Frank Armstrong with us by phone. Frank, thanks for taking time to be with us once again.
Always a joy, Larry.
It's a great pleasure. What does a financial advisor do, or what should a financial advisor do?
Well, they do a lot of different things. There's a whole laundry list of things they might do. They do financial planning, education planning, retirement planning, and distribution planning, investment management, estate planning, asset protection planning. Some financial planners have in-house attorneys that can review your wills and trusts and or provide documents. Some of them own tax preparation services so that, as a wealth advisor, you get a one-stop shop. You can do your legal, tax, financial planning, and investment management all in one house if you care to. Or you can choose which of the services you need.
And fiduciary advice, explain that and how it fits into the equation.
Well, fiduciaries, we know what fiduciaries are. There's been a common law ruling on it or body of knowledge on it since 1,000 years ago when the knights went off to the Crusades and left their trustees in charge of their estates. So it's pretty well defined. In the securities business, fiduciaries are regulated by the Securities Exchange Commission. They have a duty to make only decisions based on the very best interest of their clients. And that differs from salespeople who are licensed by FINRA or the broker-dealers, the wirehouses. And those people are salesmen, and their duty is to the source that hires them, and there are conflicts of interest involved in how they're paid with commissions. And so typically you want to make sure that your investment advisor or your advisor is a fiduciary and acts only in your best interest.
Yeah. And so how do you find that person? How do you find a qualified person?
Well, first thing you want to look for is qualifications, and that would be academic degrees, professional certifications like certified financial planner, and then experience. Being a fiduciary is good, but as we know, a pure heart and an empty head don't get you too far. So you want to look at experience, the number of assets that they manage, how long they've been in the business, and then you go and you can do broker check on the FINRA site to see if they've had regulatory violations that are of concern or lawsuits by clients, et cetera. And that would be a big red flag. Then you can go and look to the CFP organization to find a advisor in your local area, or NAPFA, which is the National Association of Professional Financial Advisors, who are all fee-only fiduciaries.
And the fee...
That's NAPFA.org.
NAPFA.org. And you're a fan of fee-only.
I believe it eliminates the vast majority of conflicts of interest that so permeate the industry. Let me just give you a quick example. You come to me with $1 million and you say, Frank, I'm a pretty conservative guy. Well, one thing that might come to mind would be a treasury note, and I might make $100 on that. Or if I'm commission-driven, I can dig deep and think about equity-linked annuities. And it's probably one of the worst financial products you could buy, but it pays a 10% commission. So now I've got a commission of $1 million. I mean, $100,000 on $1 million, as opposed to $10 or $50 on the treasury note.
So, and if you're paying, and I imagine if you're paying a fee only person, those fees can vary, probably quite a bit. Or how do the fees typically work?
Well, the fees are fully disclosed up front, and you can decide if you think you're getting fair value, but you could be paid either by a percentage of assets under management for an investment advisor, an hourly rate on a per project base, or an annual retainer. It varies depending upon the kinds of service you're going to get and who's providing it. There's a big market out there, and you should understand how you're getting charged and whether or not you're getting full value for it.
Yeah. Are there some kind of signs that may indicate a planner might not be honest with you? What are some signs that a planner might not be honest?
Well, I think consumer complaints and lawsuits, a regulatory record that's not fine. You can go to his disclaimer on the SEC websites and or ask for his ADV Part 1 or Part 2 and Part 2, which are required disclaimers by the SEC. There's ways to prevent yourself from getting scammed. Let's go back to some of the big scams that we've had where Bernie Madoff, for instance, didn't provide people with a third-party custodian. You just took it on faith that he had your money. He wasn't selling registered, audited securities. You couldn't go online and see your position at any particular time. He gave you a statement, but you had no way to check that. And always remember, if it's too good to be true, then it probably isn't true.
Yeah.
So if you think the long-term return of equities, for instance, the U.S. stock market is 10 to 11%, and someone promises you 14, that's probably not going to work out very well.
Yeah.
There's risk. Either it's a scam or there's risks involved that you don't understand or he doesn't even understand.
You hear this term robo-advisor out there. What is a robo-advisor?
Well, it's an online investment management service that may or may not have some financial planning components to it. You go in, and you can. It's really good for people with small amounts of money. You give them a limited information about what your objectives are and your financial situation, and they then manage your portfolio for you. But they don't typically provide a great deal of other financial planning information. They won't review your trusts and your wills with you or talk about your disabled child or any of that other stuff. So as people's wealth grows and their situation becomes more complex, they may need to use that robo-advisor along with the services of a financial planner. And conversely, some financial planners who really aren't interested in investing the money use robo-advisors to do that function for their clients. But if your situation becomes complex, then you need, as it becomes more complex, you need more and more personalized, customized help. And you're not going to get that typically from a robo-advisor standing alone.
Yeah, I gotcha. What are some, thinking about that, there's a lot out there. What can you do without an advisor? What are some things you can do safely without an advisor?
You can go to people like Schwab or Fidelity or Vanguard and talk to an advisor there and tell them what your situation is and ask them to develop a investment plan for you. Or you can simply do some research on one of those websites and select some funds. You can buy the entire world's markets in a single fund, if you care to, all the stocks that are traded around the world almost, in a single fund at probably less than 10/100ths of 1% per year asset charge.
That's pretty cheap.
Yeah, it's gotten remarkably cheap, and you know, you can diversify around the entire world for that, or maybe even less, and then mix the amount of bonds or short-term instruments you need in there to control the risk. And so you can do a lot by yourself if your situation doesn't get complex. But, you know, when you start having more complex issues, then perhaps you should have more professional help.
Yeah. Well, looking at the market now and the situation we have in now, is it a good investment situation that we're in this country right now, in your opinion?
Well, there's a lot of talk because the investment returns have been so very good for the last, say, 12 or 15 months. But, in fact, they're only catching up to their long-term average rate because we had 2 or 3 years where they didn't do very much for anybody. Now I think you're in an almost Goldilocks situation where all the major economies in the world are firing on all their cylinders at once, and the rate of improvement is increasing. So unless we have some kind of a black swan event, a nuclear war, some other big tragedy that we can't forecast now, you know, the world economy is improving, and the way to ride that wave would be to buy stocks. But there is a concern that stocks are now more fully valued than in the past. And part of that's driven because the central banks around the world have flooded the world with currency, driven interest rates down so far that nobody wants a 2% return over the next 30 years. And so they're forced to take more risk, and that raises the price of equities. So given that the alternatives aren't nearly as good as they used to be back in what they used to call the good old days of 5 or 10% bond returns, it inflates the price of securities. I think the time to invest is when you've got the money. There's a lot of data that shows that if for long-term investors, it really doesn't matter when you enter. You could wait and wait and wait, and the market might double while you're waiting for prices to come down.
Frank Armstrong, our guest today, he is certified financial planner and author of The Informed Investor and Save Your Retirement. He'll be with us till 12:30. We'll take a quick look at the news, and then we'll be back. And please call in with your questions. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Tell you what, we're taking a look at financial planning today with our guest, Frank Armstrong. Frank, a certified financial planner, founder and president of Investor Solutions, Inc. He is also the author of The Informed Investor and co-author of Save Your Retirement. Maybe you've worked with a financial advisor. Maybe you have some questions about financial planning. I hope you'll join in the conversation. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page. We'd certainly love to hear from you. Frank, we had a Facebook comment from Jillian, and she posted to urge anyone to really do a little research before you trust a financial advisor. She had one who thought she claimed to be acting as her fiduciary, but was not fee-only based. And by the way, Jillian didn't even realize what that might mean. And the advisor talked her into some investments that were not really good for Jillian, but were good for the commissions of the advisor. Eventually she caught on, but not until she had lost out on some much better opportunities. So kind of a word of advice to go along with what you were talking about.
Well, it's true. You know, the difference between a fee-only advisor and a commissioned salesman is that, you know, I don't claim to always be right, but there's nothing in the transaction that would tempt me to give you advice that's not in your best interest. I'm going to get paid however we've agreed on me getting paid, and whatever products and services I recommend are not, I don't have any financial interest in. So it's as they used to say in the Old West, It's an honest ride for your dollar. There's no hidden agenda. There's nothing going on behind the scenes that would imperil you or cause you additional expenses or put you in something higher risk than you intended to be because it offers a higher commission.
We have callers online. Tyga in Eau Claire up now. Thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah, so I have got my own Roth IRA as well as a 401k sponsored through my employer. And I'm working with my own financial planner, and I was wondering, through my employer's 401k, I have the option to kind of self-direct my plan. Would it be beneficial to work with my financial planner to kind of select a portfolio through my employer's 401k?
It depends on what's available through the 401k. A lot of 401ks have excellent default investments suggested asset allocation plans that you could use. Others of them give you no help at all, and there's no advisor shows up to give you education and assistance. And therefore, if you're talking about a fair chunk of change, and that varies from person to person, what's a fair chunk of change to you might be a fortune to someone else. Or it might be a pittance. In any event, if it's important to you, it's important enough to do the very best you can with it. And if the pension doesn't offer reasonable guidance at reasonable costs, then self-directed is an option.
But she could go to the financial advisor she works with on other financial matters outside the company.
Certainly she could, and that would probably, if you're already using a financial advisor, there's no reason he or she shouldn't weigh in on what your best alternatives are. Unfortunately, a lot of pension plans are still so bad that my job, when I take that role on, is to suggest the least awful choices. And then there's other plans that are so good that you'd have to be insane not to put all of your money in it every year. So it's hard to comment on a specific situation, but a financial advisor can help you sort that out.
Yeah, there you go, Tyga. Thank you. Appreciate the call. Samantha, we turn to you next in Whitehall. Hi, Samantha.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'll take it off air after I, you know, tell
sure.
you. But anyway, I was just wondering, I'm 36 years old. I've been working for a long time, and I've never really had any money. I've had 401ks on my job before, but, you know, I've spent them and been foolish. And I was wondering now, as I'm listening to you, how I can better save up for retirement, because my goal is to work and as long as I'm physically able until I'm 70. I do get Social Security, too, but, you know, I'm wondering how I can, you know,
get started,
have something to retire on.
Yeah. A lot of people wonder that.
For most people who have access to a 401k, that's the very best place to start. And it comes, as you know, in two flavors. One of them is immediately tax deductible, and the other is tax-free on distribution. But we know that people who have access to a 401k have net worth down the road several times as high as people who don't, because it makes savings automatic. And it's the best way to, as we say in the business, pay yourself first. Put that money away for later. It becomes becomes automatic. It becomes painless. You don't see it. And you're talking to a 73-year-old infant. I have very little ability to withstand new gadgets and stuff, but I've always put 20% of my pay away before my grubby little hands on it, and it's added up to a fair chunk of change for me over the years, and it's been painless because I just never saw it. I never thought about it. I mean, I thought about investing it, but I never thought about taking it out, and it just enforces a disciplined saving habit that most of us, myself included, would be hard pressed to have done without that ability to just separate it before you even see it.
Yeah, that's I think very, very good advice. So 401ks, a great way to get started. in your investments. Mike and
if you don't have a 401k,
yeah, what then?
You can do the same thing with IRAs, and you can if most people put away $5,000 a year in their IRAs, we wouldn't have the savings and retirement problem that we do today in America. And that's another great way to save, and it's extremely low cost. Again, you can go to Vanguard, and they'll do it for you for less than 10 basis points. What's wrong with that?
Yeah.
10 basis points is 0.1% per year to diversify around the world.
And Vanguard is a company that you have recommended in the past, and you don't have a financial interest in that or anything, and it's just a company that's worked well for you.
Well, we use it for our clients, but I have no financial interest in it. I always say that they're one of the few companies on Wall Street that really deserves a white hat reputation.
Yeah. Mike in Coon Valley, you're up next. Hi, Mike. Thank you for calling.
Good morning, or afternoon now. We've never worked with a financial advisor before. We were kind of cold called by a family member of a friend of ours. And so they came out and they looked at what we're doing, and they want to move some stuff around. We've got several different types of IRAs and a lot of CDs and stuff. And they actually work for an insurance company, and the investments they want us to make, they get paid through or from the investment company itself, whoever they put us into. There's no fees for us. This comes out of the money we invest. And how do we know that, what's a good percentage to have them, that they take? Is this a smart thing to do? Is there something that we could do on our own without having to use any advisors?
You can call Vanguard and give them a rundown of your situation and ask them to help you.
You could call Vanguard direct?
Sure. They got all kinds of planners online. You can call them direct. Go on their website and do just a little bit of research. There's all kinds of things you can do. Insurance salesmen are not fiduciaries. Insurance-based products are typically amongst the most expensive. And in some cases, like annuities, you'll never know what the guy's getting paid or how much is coming out of your pocket. And the idea that it's free because you don't see it is dangerous.
Yeah. So it bears you're suggesting it bears a little more research and looking around a bit.
I would do all. I mean, there's so much. There's a wealth of online information about investing from reputable firms, Vanguard, Fidelity, Schwab, we joke in the industry that people spend more time researching their flat screen TV than they do on their retirement. But it really pays off to do a little bit of research before you start talking to people whose motives you may not understand. And you need to research the advisor. And again, I can't tell you how important I think it is to use somebody who's unbiased in the advice that they give you. That would be a fee-only advisor. However, his fee is paid, whether it's on a project base or whether it's on an hourly base or whether it's on an assets under management base, it'll be all laid out for you. You'll understand what you're paying and what you're getting, and you can make that choice.
Yeah. There we go. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate the call. Let's go take some more calls here. Jim and Spooner up next. Jim, hello to you.
Hi, good afternoon. I had a quick question. I'm a state employee, and I'm in the Wisconsin Retirement System, WRS. And I've read articles that said it's considered a highly reputable, highly funded. I have a traditional pension, which is many people are not fortunate enough to have these days. I wanted your guest's opinion of the Wisconsin, the WRS system, and if it is as positive as I've heard and read, and I'd be interested in his comments. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
Well, I'd love to give you a professional, but I'm way down here in Coconut Grove, Florida, and I can't. I try not to give dumb advice or advice that I don't understand. So I think you can research it a little, and if the investment choices are widely diversified and low cost, and it gives you the ability to put together a portfolio that meets your needs, then it's probably a great, great deal.
I don't
want to give you advice.
I was looking at
cheap, good advice is.
The state retirement system is held in very high regard, and there's a figure that it's sort of a good percentage of assets to the number of people that are in the system was something like 70%, and for the state retirement system of Wisconsin, it's in the high 90s. So they're doing some things right, but it always, as Frank says, you want to look into it. Greg in DeKalb, Illinois. Hello.
Hi, Larry. I was wondering what your guest's opinion is on structured notes as an investment.
All right.
I'm an opponent of structured notes.
What are they?
Well, it's a note that's issued by typically a bank linked to some other investment, like the return on the S&P 500 without dividends. They're designed, or they're sold as limited downside protection with upside. But you pay so much for that limited downside protection that you might be better off to diversify through other means. They're typically misunderstood even by the people who sell them. They're so complex. And when something gets so complex, it probably isn't a great idea. I've written several articles on it. I've never seen one that I would be comfortable having in my portfolio. It's a very high cost. It may lower your risk, but it will cap your return. And the risk reward trade-off is really not as favorable as you could get just by using mutual funds in the vast majority of cases.
You did mention your own writings, and that reminded me that you have a lot of information on your Investor Solutions, Inc. Website.
We do. We have several hundred articles I've written over the years, and a full book that I wrote 25 yeah. years ago for the world's first internet portal site. That's maybe a good place for people to start to get general information about how to structure a retirement plan that makes, or an investment plan that makes sense for them.
Yeah. Thanks, Greg. Appreciate it. Dale in camera on your turn. Hi, Dale.
Hi. That's a Neil, but that's fine. I have a question about Vanguard. You mentioned Vanguard a moment ago, and my understanding is Vanguard has a 0.3% fee for management fee. Is that correct?
They're semi-robo. Management fee is 0.3%. That's if you want to just have them manage the whole thing for you. And that's pretty attractive for a simple situation. Or you could just go on their website and do a minimum amount of research and not pay that. They'll just buy the investments directly. But, okay. There's a percentage of people out there who are just simply not going to pay attention to it, no matter how easy it is. They get involved in going skiing or playing with their grandkids, and they don't have the interest, the time, or the inclination. So they probably ought to hire Vanguard to do it for them. But if you have the time and interest to look at it, you might do very well by just buying the assets yourself.
Yeah, so I currently have all of my retirement at Schwab in their robo-advisor system. And the thing that bothers me with them is there's a 7% cash allocation. I'm trying to figure out if that's, they talk about cash drag, and 7% is a fair amount of money. So
yes, it is. And that's what runs their railroad. The that would disturb me too, that it is a cash drag and the funds internally in the cash are highly profitable for Schwab. And I mean, Schwab's got to get paid one way or another, but typically I wouldn't use cash. I wouldn't use cash, money market funds or whatever from those institutions if I could help it.
So even the 0.3% at Vanguard would probably be more attractive than that 7% cash drag that Schwab is imposing.
Well, maybe you need 7% for whatever reason, but I typically not. You know, you can use a short-term bond fund and get the liquidity you need at a lower cost and almost no volatility if, in fact, you need liquidity. But right. Many people don't need it, and I wouldn't put my liquid assets, those that I needed, say, in the next 30 or 180 days or 2 years, I wouldn't put them in a cash in the Schwab institutional cash bucket.
Right. Thank you.
Yep, thank you for calling. And Mary in Pewaukee, hello to you. Hi.
Hi. Yes. Hello, Larry and your guest. And I wanted to ask the expert what he feels about annuities. I've heard so many financial advisors are against them. I guess I don't really know completely why, but to me, an annuity, purchased and we got a 20% on our money automatically. That's in the contract. And then we also cannot lose money if the stock market goes down. We can only gain money if the stock market goes up. So what's your feel for this?
Again, you pay a huge price for that insurance to against stock market losses. You pay a huge commission to someone who sells it to you. There's large internal costs that you probably don't realize you could have a whole schoolhouse full of Philadelphia accountants and attorneys and they can't figure out the costs internally in annuities. It's also very tax unfriendly. Instead of getting capital gains at the end when you liquidate your assets to support your lifestyle, you get all ordinary income. And if you die, now all that ordinary income gets taxed to your descendants. I'm on record as being one of the most opposed people on the planet against annuities, but I think the reasoning is pretty clear.
There we go. Thank you very much for calling. And Owen in Wyawega, hello.
Hello, Larry.
Do you have a quick question?
Yeah, okay. So I'm 39. I invested once in an annuity a long time ago, and I ended up getting out of work, and I didn't cash in on any of that. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. I'm 39. I have no securities, no investments, no savings at all, really. The only thing I have is a lot of tools because I do mechanic work. That's about the only valuable asset I have right now. What would be the best way for me to approach retirement savings at this point in time? I make $33,000 a year. I work on a dairy farm.
Yeah.
Well, the IRA is available to everybody. A dairy farm may not have a 401k, but you can do a lot with your IRA. You can also do a spousal IRA, so you could double your contributions if you wanted to if you were married. But that's the best way to start, and it separates your money from it separates my money from my grubby little hands when I want to buy an iWatch or something. makes you think twice about taking it out and destroying your retirement.
So an IRA is a good place to start. Frank, there's always a lot to talk about. And our lines are full, but we're out of time. I hope you'll come back and be with us again. Thank you, Frank.
Well, I'd love to come back. Always love it. Thank you, sir.
Frank Armstrong, financial advisor, president of Investor Solutions, Inc., and he is the author of the book, The Informed Investor, and co-author of Save Your Retirement. We'll have him back, and certainly we'll do this again. Thank you so much for listening. Tomorrow at this time, we'll be talking about the upcoming sturgeon spearing season in Wisconsin. That's at 11:45. And again, I hope you can stay with us and join with us, because there's lots more in store here on the Ideas Network.